In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. A few weeks ago, I was visiting with a friend who is a retired priest. He still does supply work on many occasions, and our discussion turned to sermon preparation, the things that priests like to talk about. And after thinking through several gospel stories, we both came to the conclusion that the gospel writer simply got it wrong, that Jesus was never a carpenter. Or maybe Jesus was one of those sons who just doesn't go into the family business. If you think about it, Jesus never mentions anything about carpentry. He does spend an awful lot of time talking about agriculture. Seeds and vines, wheat and tares, soil and sowers. He compares himself to the good shepherd and tells lots of stories about shepherds and lambs that are lost and the difference between goats and sheep. Jesus never talks about going into the forest to cut down a tree for lumber. There are no parables or metaphors about making a table or chair, not even a plow. So after a few glasses of wine, we decided that if Joseph was a carpenter, Jesus spent very little time in his dad's workshop. We do know that Jesus' parables are most often related to the simple tasks of farmers, like the two parables we have in today's gospel. Now, I know I've mentioned a couple of times from this pulpit that I really like parables. They are dynamic, living stories that, well, they make us think about life. The very word parable comes from the Greek root parabalo. It means to throw alongside life, to throw alongside our journeys. So parables are provocative. They stir our imaginations. They're stories that are meant to lift or shift the way we see ourselves, the way we see God, the way we see others. In the parables today, Jesus uses small, insignificant seeds as a metaphor for the kingdom of God. Tiny, tiny little things that holds miraculous power. In the first metaphor, sowers scatter seeds in the field, then they go to sleep and they rise day after day. They wonder at the mystery of how the seed grows, because it's under the influence of God that these tiny seeds become much more than they appear. In another parable in Matthew, Jesus tells us that under the right conditions, seeds will produce 30, 60, even 100. See, the seed and the soil do what they do, and the sower has no power over the seed. Weeds may be pulled out, we may water the field, we may add manure when necessary, but the sowers have to trust that growth will occur, and then be ready for the harvest. And any of you who are gardeners know that you cannot really do much more than put the seed in the ground and wait and hope. Wait and hope that that little seed will germinate into something. Now, at the time of Jesus, the mustard seed he refers to in the second parable was already considered proverbial. It was used throughout the culture as a metaphor for small beginnings that can lead to great outcome. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to the mustard seed that grows into a shrub where birds can nest in its branches. Now, the reality is, well, mustard seeds are not the smallest of all seeds. We know that, right? You just have to open your cabinet and look at your spice rack to know that. And shrubs, well, it might not be such a great shrub. The mustard seed's an annual. It dies every year. It has to be replanted. And it doesn't get all that large, because that's the mystery of the kingdom of God. These two parables Jesus leaves with us today are parables about grace. They reveal the reality that we are called to partner with God as sowers and reapers, but always remembering that God causes the seeds to grow. Jesus is teaching us about how to live in this kingdom that God's bringing into place, planting small seeds that are watered in baptism and nourished with Eucharist that grow into a vibrant community under God's care. Our purpose is to spread the seed and put our trust in God. our growth comes out of God's free gift of love to the world. And maybe the hardest part of this mysterious thing we call the kingdom of God is that it's all about trusting in a relationship, about putting our faith in something we simply cannot see. That's the beauty of trust. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, was a woman of small stature destined to do great things. She grew up in a devout Roman Catholic family, and from a young age, she felt a call to religious life. At 18 years of age, she moved from her native Macedonia to join the Sisters of Loretta in Ireland. After continuing with her education, she finally was sent by the sisterhood to India to teach at St. Mary's School for Girls. She loved her work with these young women of India. She loved spreading the seed of education that would allow them to make better lives for themselves. But in 1946, she received what she called a call within a call. She'd already been called to religious life. She'd already given herself to the community of nuns that formed her and created her to be who she was. But now she had a new call. And that call was a vision of working with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. People who needed to know God's love in very tangible ways. So Teresa went to the Mother Superior about this vision she had of establishing an orphanage and a hospice for people who were dying, for taking care of the homeless. The Mother Superior asked how she planned to do this amazing thing, this vision that Jesus had given her. How was she going to make that become a reality? How much money did she have to make it become a reality? Teresa thought for a minute, and she said, "Well, I have 3 pennies. Her sisters looked at her, shaking their heads, and said, "Well, that's not even a good place to start, 3 pennies. Teresa went on to say, "But with 3 pennies and the power of God, I can do anything." A vision. And 3 pennies was all that she had to expand the kingdom of God in Calcutta. And she went out and she sowed her seed. Within a few years, Mother Teresa founded the Missionary Sisters of Charity. And as her work prospered, she founded a second community for men. Soon, teams of monks and nuns were spreading across India and across the world. 3 pennies and the power of God. Teresa placed her faith in God not in the smallness of what she had, but in the greatness of what she could accomplish with God by her side. She was faithful in the task she was called to do. She didn't allow fear to impede her progress, fear to stand in the way of the vision that Jesus had given her. We live in a time when there is so much fear throughout the church. And fear, I think, is one of the most dangerous things to people of faith. It makes us question our trust, and ultimately, it robs us of our purpose. I'm amazed at how many articles appear in my Facebook feed written by fearful Christians. And it's things like articles and op-ed pieces from Episcopal Cafe, from Episcopal News Service and Anglican News Service, from the Pew Research that focus on the demise of the church. The absence of millennials. The irregular updates on the largest growing segment of American religious culture, the nuns. Now, I'm not talking about the women who walk around in little black habits. I'm talking about N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, the largest group in American culture who have absolutely no religious affiliation. They see the church as irrelevant or out of touch with modernity or filled with hate and hypocrisy. And I'm afraid that some of their thoughts are correct. So I read a lot of articles on how to win back the millennials and the nuns. Articles on what we need to do, what we need to become, or what we need to change to make or save the church. Most of the time, these articles focus on changing the liturgy or the music or the times of when services start and end, about forming praise bands and inviting guest preachers on relevant topics. You know, the self-help gurus are going to come in and save the church. But what I don't read about is the need for us to become sowers of the seeds of the kingdom. I don't read a lot about casting seeds by loving our neighbor, by welcoming the stranger and the immigrant, by advocating for the abused and the neglected, by standing up for the poor and the lonely and the forgotten. The very things that Jesus spends his entire life doing. The things we promise God that we're going to do by loving our neighbor and by respecting the dignity of every human being. Maybe we need to become more faithful sowers of the seeds by casting God's love far and wide and trusting Him to make the seed grow. I know it sounds simple, maybe even a bit naive, but isn't that the point of parables? That they come into us and they change us first. They change the way we look at our relationship with God. They change the way we look at our relationships with each other and the world. A world that is in desperate need to know God that loves them. We only have to look at the empty pews around us to know the church is struggling. There are a lot of empty pews in here this morning. But I don't believe that we will fill these pews by simply tweaking the liturgy or adding a praise band or, God forbid, adding some projection screen that comes down from the ceiling. The church will not grow, will not thrive on gimmicks. Prayer book revision, that's going to come. The liturgy will be tweaked over time, and there will be new songs added to the hymnal, and that will make some of us who are sitting here this morning really, really happy, and some really, really ticked off. Remember 1979? Jesus, this morning, is asking us to become more faithful in our work as sowers for the kingdom. To be faithful in the work we are already doing as a community, at Community Assistance Center, at Horizons, at Church of the Common Ground, at the Church of the Holy Comforter, in Haiti, at the burial of the Holy Innocents. To have new visions of where Jesus' love needs to be taken. Are you ready for a vision? If we're faithful in our worship, as we live into our baptismal promises, then our pews may fill or not. The goal of the Christian life is not about filling church pews, as wonderful as it would be. And quite frankly, I think I can say this for Lisa, we much prefer to preach to a full house than a half-empty house. Our goal is to be faithful sowers of the love of Jesus, and then yield ourselves to the power of God so that God will make those seeds grow. A faithful nun with 3 pennies and God on her side changed the lives of starving children. She brought love to the sick and suffering of Calcutta and to the world. 3 pennies and a newfound trust in God at Holy Innocents may be the beginning of a whole new set of initiatives in mission and outreach and pastoral care and education in our becoming faithful disciples of Jesus. 3 pennies and the power of God.